to 20 Minutes and Two Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
And we have episode 137, and it's a special one. Bobby is grinning ear to ear for this one.
We covered Broncos. My Broncos. Talk to the very skilled Andrew Mason from DenverBroncos.com. We were really excited to have him on to talk Broncos. And it was very nice, JD. I got to get all my questions asked. I'm pretty excited. This is a good episode.
Bouncing off the walls, giddy as can be. He looked like a kid in a candy circle. We're going to talk Broncos. We're going to talk Broncos. Last night, he was up late texting me late night. I'm going to talk Broncos. LOL Broncos. LOL Broncos.
Is that what it was?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm also...
Smiley face.
I'm also giddy because I'm drinking Shiner.
Yes. You know, okay, first off, before we reveal what this is, I was a little disappointed. The Ruby Redbird is officially out of stores.
It's August. It's off the shelves now. We got to get ready. You know what I've been seeing a lot of in stores already? Pumpkin beers.
Too early.
Too early, I agree. New Belgium has one, though. I had it the other day. I had my first fantasy football draft. I brought some of those pumpkin ales. Really solid.
Really?
Solid effort by New Belgium. But we're drinking Shiner's Oktoberfest. Talk about too early for a beer. Yeah.
It's a Marzen style. Delicious. I don't think I've had their Oktoberfest. I've had everything else Shiner's done.
I don't think Shiner's made a bad beer.
You know, we need to get somebody from Shiner on the podcast at some point in time.
We pimp their beer much.
We do. It is good stuff. Now, speaking of fantasy football, you've had one draft.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two coming up. One of them we're in together. Yeah. Who won that league last year?
You won that league.
I won that league last year.
Champion.
Yes.
Yep.
But with the draft, it's coming up. You said you brought pumpkin beer to that one.
Yeah.
I'm hosting our draft this year.
Yeah.
For those who are on site. What beer are you bringing?
That's a game time decision. I'm going... Really? Yeah, I'm not going to make that up right now. I'm going to go to my beer place, a special place where I buy beer.
There's a group of elves
that work there. They forage around for the choicest hops.
They're called little people, Bobby. They're called little people.
Wow. TLC does a show on them? Or? No, you know what?
Big world, little beer. Sundays on TLC.
There you go. It's following football. I might try to get Pipeworks Brewing, who did the Ninjas versus Unicorns.
Oh, man, that was a good beer.
They've had some interesting stuff featuring ninjas and unicorns in their beers. So I know where I can get some of that. I might be bringing some of that. I don't know. It's going to be good, though. I'm not going to bring the...
PBR or anything like that.
If you're going to somebody's house that's hosting, you don't bring, like, a 12-pack of... MGD, because you're going to drink four of them, and then you're leaving eight for the guy that lives there. That's just rude. You're going to bring some good beer.
If you only drink four beers over the course of a draft, you're doing something wrong. A draft is a drinking night. You throw the beverages down. It's what it's all about.
Taking a taxi home. That's how it works.
That's pretty much what you do.
Yeah, that's a good...
Well, I got a spare room or two for you, Bob.
There you go.
All right, well, we're going to talk to Andrew here in just a minute, but we need to start out with music. What do you have?
This week, I'm bringing some new music to the table. We got Brett Denon. He's got a new song called Wild Child, and it's going to be off his new album called Smoke and Mirrors. It comes out October 22nd. So we're going to play some Wild Child by Brett Denon. Then when we come back, we'll be joined by Andrew Mason.
I love the country. I wanna run free and I don't wanna live up to anyone's plan. I wanna feel the good vibes and I wanna feel the sunshine with you by my side. I am. the dance floor and pull me a little closer and
welcome into the podcast, Andrew Mason. He's covered the NFL for 15 years for the NFL.com, ESPN.com, CBSSportsLine.com. Now he's a writer for DenverBroncos.com. You can also catch all the news from him on Twitter, at Mace Denver. Welcome to the podcast, Andrew Mason. Thanks for joining us, Andrew.
No problem. Good to talk to you guys.
Well, you know, this is a different year for the Broncos. There's not only a change in offensive coordinators, but it's also the second year of Peyton Manning. Is the camp different this year, different feel than last year?
I'd say it's a little bit different. I mean, simply because you don't have that steep learning curve for the wide receivers and the offensive line. Really everyone on the offense. Last year, it just seemed like a lot of guys were swimming deep end and were struggling at times to kind of catch up with the pace and that Manning demanded and what he expects from his teammates. But now there's that understanding of what he wants. It's no longer, you know, the guys that have come back from last year, they're not thinking about their assignments. They're not thinking about what route to take. They know what to do, and then even some of the newcomers, in particular Wes Welker, you know, he's come in and being a veteran guy who was with the Patriots the last 6 years, you know, he knows how to absorb an offense. His transition has been smooth. So really, I think it's been a bit different tenor. It feels like the Broncos last year were starting at ground level, and that this year they're starting about four or five tiers above that. So that's helped them out.
Does it feel like Manning and Welker are already in a groove?
Absolutely. In fact, they've had a few plays the last couple of days that have really just that underscored that. There were two plays today. One was in the red zone, and then one was from about the 3 yard line. So, and in both cases, Welker, you know, gets open down the seam. And he beats Chris Harris in coverage. And both times, Manning found him in perfect stride, you know, for touchdowns on both plays. And that's, you know, that's really interesting to see, because that's the kind of play that we didn't see all that often from Wes Welker in New England. You know, we think of Wes Welker in the Patriots offense. We think of the little, you know, we think of drags and short curls, and then mm-hmm. him making something happen with a short pass, making something happen after the catch. And now we're seeing him make plays down the field, and that really could open some things for Wes Welker, and may make his season look a lot different than others. I mean, I could see a scenario where Welker doesn't have as many catches as usual. He's not in the 110 to 120 catch range, but actually ends up with more yards and more yards per catch. He's making those plays down the seam. Certainly, it's pretty exciting for the Broncos offense if they can bring that to the table.
And, you know, a lot has been made out of the Broncos lining up in the pistol offense against the 49ers. Do you think this was to create a stir, or will they actually be utilizing this formation this season?
I think, a little bit of a stir. I mean, I'm sure it'll be something that they look to and they bring in time to time. It's another wrinkle to throw at an opponent. I mean, really, the way to think of this is this. If it does not end up being primary looks, it's something they only turn to occasionally, then what you've done, you've put it out there on tape in the preseason. You have forced the Ravens in their game planning to spend a few hours studying the pistol, studying the Broncos plays, the Broncos running that. And maybe that's 3 or 4 hours of game planning that the Ravens aren't spending on something that's going to be a bigger part of the game plan. And, you know, sometimes you can put stuff on tape in the preseason just for some misdirection to kind of get opponents looking in another direction. Whether that turns out to be the case for the pistol, you know, we'll learn when we get to the regular season.
And that offensive line helps with that flexibility. Probably one of the best offensive lines in the game. Then you have Vasquez to join the crew. How are they playing right now?
Well, it's a little bit of a state of flux because, you know, Ryan Clay missed the entire offseason, and he's being eased back into team work. You know, he now is only playing a couple of snaps here, a couple of snaps there. You know, he says that the shoulder that he underwent surgery on in the offseason, it's not in pain, but, you know, sometimes it's still sore, you know, when he's working on those few plays. And that's just part of the recovery process. And, you know, he missed the offseason of OTAs and in camp, and he wasn't able to work out in the offseason the way he had been. So he's got to get his conditioning back up as well. So because of that, you've got Chris Clark working at left tackle mainly, and that's had some ups and downs. Clark actually got beat in the preseason opener by Walton Smith and got to Manning, and Smith pulled up a little bit as if he knew, hey, I'm not going to go for the big hit in the preseason on a guy like Manning, but still, you know, Clark getting beat there shows that there's certainly a drop off from Ryan Clady to the reserve. So, you know, that tackle's gonna he'll be fine once Clady gets for now in a little bit of state of flux. The other thing is, and that's the question mark on the offensive line, you've had Ramirez working as the first teamer there throughout the offseason and training camp. But, you know, after offseason work, they signed Dan Copen when they knew J.D. Walton was not going to be available until the end of October. They signed Copen, and when he tore his ACL, you know, 4 days into camp, he was starting to get some first-team work. He was working his way into that role. Mm-hmm. You know, after Copen gets, they signed Steve Velos, who's basically a roster-filling guy that has some experience, but probably doesn't factor in the regular season unless there's even more injuries. And then they picked up Ryan Loja, the former Colt, former Kansas City Chiefs, started 12 games for the Chiefs last year at center. And, you know, having those kinds of pickups certainly offers the indication that the Broncos are looking for something a little more in experience at center, perhaps, than they had with Manny Ramirez. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out the next few weeks. I mean, I would say this. If Loja is not working on the first team by the third preseason game, then I would expect Manny Ramirez is going to be the starter in week one. And then Chris Cooper, he's had his leg injuries going back to January 1 of 2012. You know, he played some last year, re-aggravated that, had more surgery in the offseason. He was back at practice on Tuesday. That's the first time he'd practiced all year. And he didn't take any snaps in team periods or anything like that. But before practice, did actually work with Manning on some snaps. So he may factor into the depth as well. But he hasn't played center since college, and even then it was only for three snaps. So I don't see him factoring in the center unless it's an absolute emergency.
Well, and one of the ways the Broncos can help out that offensive line is using a running back to help with that. And last season, Ronnie Hillman really struggled at protecting, picking up the rushers. Has he improved in that area that you've seen?
Tremendously. I mean, I wouldn't say he's an elite blocker at this point. I would say he's miles ahead of where he was last year, and certainly that's a step in the right direction that you need to see from him, and certainly that's going to help him get on the field. You know, Monte Ball, I think, over the long haul, will end up being better at blitz pickup, but being, you know, being a rookie, he struggled with that at times, I think that's going to factor into how much he ends up playing. I think right now, because Hillman's in his second year, because he knows the checks and calls and is more adept at picking up blitz at this point, I think we're going to see Ronnie Hillman early in the season more than we see Monte Ball. And, you know, as we all know, you know, picking up blitz is the number one thing that a running back has to do in a Peyton Manning offense. They value that ahead of your skills, at your actual skills as a running back. So I think Hillman's made the steps that he needed to take. Not necessarily saying he's a great blocker, but he's certainly shown a lot of progress in the last 12 months.
Well, jumping over to the other side of the football, the cloud hanging over Von Miller, how's that impacting the squad?
Usually a potential four-game suspension hanging over a team would be the dominant topic of training camp, and it hasn't been the case for the Broncos. Now, part of that is because they actually believe that the appeal that he has later this week is going to result in something positive, whether it's a reduction of the suspension or actual elimination of it. We'll see, but there's optimism that it's not going to turn out to be four games. Another reason for that, frankly, is because Sean Phillips has looked pretty good on the practice field so far. Now, he doesn't necessarily replace all Von Miller. I mean, you're not going to see him do much of the stand-up strong side linebacker like Von Miller also is when they're in base package. But as far as the pass rusher from the edge, you know, Phillips has done pretty well in practice, and he had a pretty good game last week in San Francisco. He had the forced fumble, or he had the fumble recovery, but he was in the backfield pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. So I think they're in decent shape to weather that storm. We can't really replace Von Miller. He's too gifted. He's too skilled. But I think they can get by with the parts they have. That's one reason why it hasn't been the dominant top that you expect a four-game suspension to be.
You know, Andrew, Champ is 35 years old this season. He's in his 15th year, and I feel like every year there's an article written, is this the last year the Broncos can line him up at corner? And every year he proves him wrong. How has Champ looked going against Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Wes Welker out there?
He looked all right. I mean, I think you'll see Demaryius Thomas get the better of him from time to time. And that's been the primary matchup during camp, Champ and Demaryius Thomas, and we've seen that a lot. But Billy actually made a few more plays the last few days, and I think he's adjusted to the upgrade that Demaryius Thomas has made in his game and adjusted his play. That being said, you know, there are concessions to his age on the practice field. He has his repetitions hit limited. They're, you know, not giving him necessarily full days off, but certainly giving him periods off here and there. Part of that is to make sure Champ Bailey is well rested. Part of that is because the veteran he's kind of earned. He's earned those breaks. Part of that is because they want what they have in their young cornerbacks, like Omar Bolden, Kayvon Webster, who their draft pick this year, Tony Hart, back last year, looks like a nine back, and also Dominique Bryant Cromartie is getting back after missing a couple weeks with a high ankle sprain. So, you know, I think Bailey's going to be fine. I mean, the question, it seems like every year, like you said, comes is last year. Is this the safety? But I think safety is as a proper allocation of Bailey and the Broncos resources. I think he's got at least another year. And the thing to remember with Champ Bailey is a lot of guys that moved from cornerback to safety at the middle of their careers or even later, you know, they had some significant knee injury happen to them. It's one of Bud Woodson had a, you know, he had some ACL problems, so he had to move to safety from corner. Champ Bailey, he hasn't had that sort of injury, so his loss of speed over the years has been more gradual rather than dramatic, and that's allowed him to remain effective as a corner on into this is going to be his 15th season in the league. So he's been very fortunate, and certainly the Broncos hope that it stays that way regarding his health.
And one more thing I want to ask before we turn to some fantasy updates on the team. You know, the strong and weak linebackers, they're pretty much set in stone, but the middle linebacker, I think, is still a question mark. I know Nate Irving's listed as number one, but who has the edge there right now?
Well, Stuart Bradley actually started in the 49er game in middle linebacker, so he would probably have the edge at this point. That being said, if Von Miller ends up suspended for four games, you're going to see Bradley at the middle linebacker, but then you're going to see Irving on that base package down as the strong side linebacker. And I think if that's the case, then maybe you'll see over those 4 weeks the Broncos evaluate them both closely and decide who's going to be the middle linebacker of those two going forward once you get beyond a potential Von Miller suspension. And you saw, you know, last year they kind of mixed and matched for a bit early in the season until they figured out that Brooking was going to be the primary middle linebacker. I think you may see a little bit of that, or Keith Brooking was the middle linebacker last year. I think you may see some of that this year with Stuart Bradley and Nate Irving working together. Von Miller suspension happens, and then figure out from there who's going to be your middle linebacker based on who played better in those games.
And fantasy-wise, do you think all three wide receivers are going to be putting up big numbers?
Maybe not as previous years, and I think that would be the case for Eric Decker. I think he may take it from his numbers last year. I think Demaryius Thomas may end up pretty closely in line with what he had last year, because you can see the trust factor between Manning and Demaryius Thomas growing, and really Demaryius brings some things athletically that Eric Decker doesn't. And Manning has never receiver that big, that fast, that strong, that had collection physical talent that Demaryius Thomas had. Mm-hmm. Eric Decker, and then Wes Welker's interesting because, you know, I think, you know, I touched on this earlier. I don't necessarily think he's going to be a 110, 120 catch guy like he was in previous years. But if he's getting open deep down the seam like he has in practice and if they're using him that way, he may end up having just as many yards as he usually does and may have more yardage per catch and may even have a higher touchdown total. So I think Wes Welker is going to be productive. He just may end up being a different kind of productive than he had in his year with the Patriots.
And last question before we let you go, Andrew. Is there somebody else aside from those three wide receivers that you see having a breakout year this year, somebody that could really surprise fans?
Well, I think the guy you should watch is Julius Thomas, who's been a camp stud at tight end. You know, still raw, you know, still learning his way as a blocker, but can be pretty proficient in the passing game. The question is how much after we end up seeing because he's not the most effective blocker. You know, they're going to get Joel Dreesen back from knee surgery in the next week or two. And where does he fit? And how long does his knee hold up? They trust him more as an every down tight end just because he's a complete package as far as a blocker and also as a red zone target. But if they get Julius Thomas on the field, he's going to make some plays. And certainly you'll get Thomas and then those three receivers on the outside. You know, opponents aren't going to be able to cover all of them. So maybe you got some opportunities for him to make some big plays.
And to close out, we got to get your prediction on the Broncos season. What do you have for a record?
I've got them 13-3. They get to the Super Bowl and go 13. That'll be a successful year.
Outstanding stuff. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Andrew. Of course, you can read all his articles on DenverBroncos.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Mace Denver. That's M-A-S-E and then Denver. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
No problem, guys. Held the girl closer than was safe. Take what you want from me. I'm not afraid to turn around to see you by my side. Hey, I felt pretty when they turn out the light.
Bobby, my turn for music.
That's right.
And I have a lapse of memory sometimes. And I came in all gung ho. I'm like, I've got a great song. A new group. Nobody's heard of them. New group.
Yep. You're like all excited. I'm like, hey, Bobby, have you ever heard of, wait for it, the Wild Feathers?
He gives me this look like I'm an alien, like I have, you know, stuff growing out of my face. And he's like, dude, I played them like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, what? No, you didn't. And he's like, yeah, no, totally did. Then he talked about some emails and I'm like, oh, yeah.
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 But if you haven't listened to them, give them a listen.
Their album just came out.
They have a new song, new video for Backwoods Company. It's a really good video, great song. Give them a listen to.
That's not where you're going with this week.
No,
though.
I'm playing the group Mona.
Okay.
Has a new one out, and the song is called Goon.
Just like the wind when you blow.
All right, Bobby. You know what? That sounds like one of those songs you're just going to hear that chorus like during as they're going to commercials for NFL games.
Yeah.
That's why I like that song. It kind of pumped you up a little bit. But
it didn't pump you up enough to win at horse today. You got smoked.
I will say I got beat today.
Are you going to give an excuse real quick? Do you want to give an excuse? We'll open up. I'm just going to say, do you want to give an excuse? Because usually when you get smoked, you start off with an excuse. So now is the time when you can give an excuse.
Well, I am still waiting for my shoulder surgery, which, no joke, is happening, folks. Mm-hmm. I will accept gifts. But shoulder's hurting pretty bad. Mm-hmm.
Did I give you an option to shoot, both of us shoot left-handed?
I don't remember that.
I did.
I can neither confirm nor deny that happened.
Regardless, you need to start questions, and we're going to start them with music. Let's start that music now.
And first question of the six-pack, Bobby. We talked Broncos with Andrew earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos record, he had 13-3. What do you got?
I'm going to agree with Andrew, 13-3. I see situations where they could go 14-2.
Wow.
But
that's hard to go.
Very difficult to go. They have a number of difficult games on the schedule. Their away games, I think, are pretty tricky. At New York Giants, I think at Dallas Cowboys, at the Chargers, that's always a tough one. At New England Patriots, that's tricky. At the Houston Texans late in the season, those are all tricky games.
Tricky.
I think they'll go 13-3. I wouldn't be surprised if they did one game in either direction.
Okay.
All right, JD.
Yes.
Coach on the bigger hot seat this year, Jason Garrett with the Cowboys, Rex Ryan with the Jets, Jim Schwartz with the Lions, or Leslie Frazier with your Minnesota Vikings?
Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
He's been on the hot seat for a while, and I think it's been like Jerry Jones is like, oh, you know, things are going to happen. We'll turn around. We're all behind Jason. But at some point in time, you got a Fisher cut bait.
Yeah.
And I think they're just about at that time. And I feel bad for the guy. You've rode Tony Romo as long as you can. And honestly, he's an average quarterback in the NFL.
Wow.
And he hasn't got the job done in the big games for you. And that's, honestly, that's been a Jerry Jones call.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys are going to struggle as long as Jerry Jones is there. We all know that. But Jason Garrett, I think, is the one in the biggest hot seat. Leslie Frazier in the smallest hot seat.
Okay.
Bobby, I was at the Twins White Sox game
mm-hmm.
this past weekend with a bunch of alumni from my wife's college, an alumni gathering. Ended up being an odd drinking game towards the end of the night. We're at the bar in the stadium, and it was Ron Kittle bobblehead doll night. So they ripped off the bobblehead of the bobblehead doll. And if you're standing there and that gets plunked into your glass of beer, you got to chug your beer.
Okay.
I got hit twice.
Yeah.
Kind of a bizarre, impromptu drinking game.
Yep.
What's the most bizarre drinking game you've ever experienced?
When I was in Ireland, I studied abroad in Ireland when I was in law school. And I was there for 6 months, including over Easter. And on Easter Sunday, everything was pretty... The bars were open, but everything else was pretty closed down. And so me and a bunch of other Americans got together, and we decided to play... beer pong, but we couldn't find any ping pong balls. No stores were open, so we used the nitrogen balls in Guinness cans, and we played beer pong on Easter using the Guinness nitrogen balls. That was probably the oddest.
That's a memorable one.
Game. Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah. JD, Riot Fest is the next big music fest to play Chicago, and this lineup is awesome. They're playing at Humboldt Park, but I want to have you tell us who you're going to go to for the competing headliners each night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Tell me.
Now, it's September 13th, 14th, 15th, first night, Friday night, Fall Out Boy is on one stage, Danzig, 25th anniversary, is on the other side. Which group?
Danzig.
That's an easy one for you. Huh?
Danzig. I've heard, my brother saw him in Norway.
Yeah.
Said he's fat, he's bloated, but still puts on a great show.
All right, day two, Saturday. Blink-182 versus Violent Femmes.
Ooh, you know what? I'm going to see Blink-182.
Yeah.
They have such diverse music. I'll see them.
All right, Sunday, Replacements versus Pixies.
Whoa.
Yeah, there was a divide. I think there was a dividing line for Friday and Saturday with the newer crowd and the older crowd.
Yeah.
And then Sunday is just like, Who's going to win this battle?
I'm probably going to go see The Replacements.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice lineup. I didn't even know. We should go.
It's a solid lineup, man.
Wow. That is a solid lineup.
Really good.
All right. My last question. You know, it's interesting. I've got a little one at home now, and you're watching the NFL games, and every team, for the most NFL team, has a mascot. You know, you've got Ragnar for the Vikings, or Victor the Viking, you know, running out there. The Steelers have, what, Steely McBeam. You know, you've got every team's got a mascot of some sort. What's the worst? In the NFL, worst mascot of any of the teams. All right, what do you got?
I'm going to give you two different ones, okay? There's Tennessee Titans have T-Rack, which is a raccoon, and they have it because it's the state animal of Tennessee.
Stupid.
Has nothing to do with the Titans. That's dumb. But that's not the worst name. Now, that's not a good name. T-Rack? No, that's T-Rack. A terrible name. But the worst name, Sourdough Sam. Where would Sourdough Sam, do you think, come from?
I have no idea. Houston, Texas?
People should be able to identify with who you are by that. Sourdough Sam is the 49ers mascot, the old prospector.
Wow, that's horrible.
That's a terrible name for him.
Terrible name.
But yeah, so T-Rack is the worst actual animal. Sourdough Sam, horrid name. Yes. Horrid name. Last question, JD. You brought it up earlier, and I'm going to give you props one more time. Who won the Fantasy League last year?
That would be me.
Okay. At the beginning of the year, you made a bold prediction about a running back, and that paid off for you. Do you remember who that running back was?
Alfred Morris.
Yeah, you were singing his praises, and it turned out to be great for you.
And I sang his praises here on this podcast.
You did. You know who else you sang the praises for? Ryan Williams of the Arizona Cardinals. And how did he work out? He didn't.
Yeah.
So I'm
betting 500.
That's fine. So now what I want you to do, at least people out there have a 50-50 chance here. Who's your breakout running back this year?
It's not much of a stretch, Bobby. But I am going with Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers. You know, it's not a huge stretch because they drafted him in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to come in. He missed the first preseason game with the left knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to come in, have a huge impact on that team. That's who I'm going with. Second would probably be Monte Ball.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
We'll see. Even though he's not the number one.
Not
right
the number
now.
One. Right. Neither was Alfred Morris. Well, right. He was, actually.
He was going into the season.
But anyway. That's all we have. When we come back, last call, one stop away. Cliff, we got some music. Listen.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
And full disclosure, Cliff is a dedicated listener, and if you look on our Facebook page, he always comments about music and flow of the show.
He lets us know when we mess up.
But you know what? He's been there since the beginning, and thank you so much, Cliff, for listening for 137 episodes. Bobby, last call, one stop away. Mine comes from Portugal.
Okay.
A Portuguese court ruled a waste management company must rehire one of its employees it fired.
All right.
You know, the labor dispute.
It happens.
It does.
Unions.
He was fired for drinking wine on the job. The court said, the court said drinking wine could be good for work. Now, the dude was fired when he and a driver were involved in an accident. Both were found to have alcohol in their systems and were fired. The court ruled that, that's kind of weird, that while it's clear the driver shouldn't have been drinking, there isn't a special reason for the scrap collector's job dude that can't be done with a worker thinking about whatever he wants, looking happy or grumpy or more sober or a little tipsy. He can still do his job. The court said the company couldn't fire the man because it didn't have a policy on alcohol consumption. Really?
Wow.
Really? No policy on alcohol consumption. Now, the quote of it said, "Let's note that with alcohol, the worker can forget about life's hardships and be more committed to collecting trash." And the public may even think that this happier worker is more productive, excellent, and quick to remove scrap, the ruling said. Let's admit it. Their work isn't the most pleasant, so basically, drink away.
Let them drink. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Only in Portugal, ladies and gentlemen. Only in Portugal.
Well, both of our stories are coming overseas, JD. This one's coming from Denmark. Now, favorite pastime, 4th of July. I've been on this trip with you on a float trip.
Oh my God, those are so fun.
You know, the best part about a float trip is that you'll be floating the river for like 4 hours. You don't have to use the bathroom once.
Not even, but you're drinking the whole time.
You're drinking the entire time. You don't use the bathroom.
It's amazing.
Here's the situation. Now, we both know why nobody's getting out of the water to go to the bathroom.
Parts of the water are warmer as you go. I understand that.
And here's a reason to be careful about that, JD.
Okay.
All right. There's been a fish found in Denmark. Now, it's called the pacu. Are you familiar with this fish?
I'm familiar with this fish.
You've
only
already...
Only because I watch... Was it Unhooked or something like that? Continue.
This fish was featured on Animal Planet, I think, in 2012, because it's also known as the ball cutter, it's a fish. It's a vegetarian fish, and it has teeth, though. Teeth like human teeth.
They look like human teeth?
They bite hard, and they've been known to bite and sometimes castrate people who are in the river... who are in the river without anything covering their nether regions.
Don't go skinny dipping.
So the fish is usually known in the Amazon. That's where it usually is found. But now it's been found in the seas outside of Copenhagen, Denmark. And they didn't realize it could live in salt. But you got to figure if it enjoys a salty treat every once in a while.
Oh, whoa.
I'm just saying. Anyways... so that's, and for those who are listening in the United States, and there are many, I will say this, don't think that we are immune to this, because just because it's in South America and now Denmark, in North America, it's been raised. They're raising it for eating purposes. People they enjoy the taste of it. So it is out there, and if anybody, the way they thought it got into the Copenhagen water is... Somebody went on vacation and just dumped it from their aquarium into the water.
Oh, my God.
And it survived. So be careful in your float trips this summer, people.
The show is called River Monsters on Animal Planet that they featured this pacu. Google it, people. Bobby, you should need to throw a picture somewhere.
Yeah, it's...
Google it. It is...
It'll give you nightmares, is that what you're saying?
It will freak you out.
Yeah.
It's got human teeth.
Yeah.
And that's disgusting. Don't go skinny dipping, dudes.
Keep your swim trunks on. And again, thanks for Andrew Mason for joining the podcast, talking me a lot of Broncos.
You like it.
Got a lot of stuff. Next week we have another special guest talking about another special football team.
Yeah, we're hoping it'll come through. We're going to talk a little Minnesota Vikings with a writer for the Vikings. So tune in next week. But until then, we'll see you. Take what you want from me. Not afraid to turn around to see you by my side. Hey, I felt pretty when they turned out the light. I didn't know just what. I'm gonna talk Broncos. LOL Broncos. LOL Broncos.